Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Vernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My name is Joanna Bernier, and I am the worship leader for Into the Light Ministries and also the leader for our new album that will be coming out called Servanthood. Here with me also is Raph Bernier and Sky Bernier. And our prayer today is that the Lord would encourage you and uplift you and minister to you, knowing that in all things Christ will be glorified.
I don't know.
Praise God and hallelujah. I want to welcome each and every one of you that are joining us today for the first time. We have 74 countries joining us today for the very first time. And I know there's a million other things you could be doing right this minute, but you've chosen to watch us, and I want to thank you for that. You know, this half hour goes so fast that I rarely ever get a chance to say all that I want to say. So today, I'd like to go to the scriptures immediately that I get a chance to share at least most of what God has given me to share today. You know, throughout the world today, there are so many different gods. There are so many different people who claim to be God, and so many different gods that the people worship. But I want to talk about the one true God today. I want to talk about the one God that you can experience, that you can feel, that you can see, the one God that will come to you, that will talk to you, that will guide you, that you will know is real. There's only one God that can do that, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to earth and gave his life and died on a cross that our sins might be forgiven, and that we would have the opportunity to accept that love. Remember, we have an opportunity to accept his love, that we might be born again, that we might be able to go to heaven and live with Christ for all eternity. Time after time after time, time without end, time that our minds cannot even begin to comprehend. That is eternity without end. And Jesus wants us to spend that time with him in heaven. He definitely does not want us in hell. Hell was not created for man. Hell was created for Satan and the angels that followed him in the rebellion. But the love of God is so great. The love of Jesus Christ is so great, so wide, so deep. Our minds can't even begin to fathom it. And in that love, God has given us free will. He said if we wanted to, we could love him. But if we didn't want to, we didn't have to. We didn't have to love God. We could follow Satan. We could follow Lucifer. We could live in all of that sin, and we could spend literally eternity in hell with Lucifer if we wanted to, because of the free will that God has given us. I'd like to share with you from the scripture, if you would, those of you that have a Bible, if you would turn to Matthew in the 22nd chapter. The disciples have come to Jesus, and they have asked him several questions. And in this chapter, Jesus is answering them, and he's speaking about the end of time. He's speaking about the last days, and I want to share with you, we're no longer looking for the last days. We're looking at the last days. Everything Jesus said would happen is happening right now. We're living in the last days of time. Chapter 22 and verse 1, and the word of God says, and Jesus answered, and he spoke unto them again by parables, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them, and they were bidden to the wedding, but they would not come. Now what Jesus is talking about here is the church, those that had been prepared. And he sent his son that they would not come, or his servants rather, but they would not come. All of a sudden they were busy. They had to put Johnny through college. They had to pay off the mortgage on the house. They had to do this and do that. And they didn't have time to do the things that God wanted him to do. So again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Come unto the marriage now. But they made light of it, and they went their ways, one to his farm and another to his store and to his merchandise, to make more money. And the remnant, those that were left, they took his servants, and they treated them spitefully, and they murdered them. They actually murdered those. So all you've got to do is look around today of those who are going to the highways and byways, those who are going to these other countries to invite the people to the wedding feast, to invite them to the wedding feast of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's happening? They're being murdered. They're being beheaded. People are making light of it. They're making fun of it. But I'm here to tell you, it's happening. It's real. We're at that day. We're at that time right now. And it says in verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was angry. And he sent forth his armies, and he destroyed those murderers. And he burned up their cities. And then saith he unto his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were invited were not worthy. And go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, everybody, invite them to the marriage. Tell them that the feast is ready, invite them. So those servants went out into the highways and they gathered together as many as they could find, both the good and the bad. And the wedding was furnished with guests. But then it said the king came in to see the guest, and he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou into here without having a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. And then the king said to his servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. What it is speaking of here is hell. Jesus is saying, take him out. Take him out. Bind him hand and feet. Take him out and cast him into hell for all eternity, because he was not dressed right for the wedding feast. Now what we're talking about here is the acts of righteousness, the clean white robe that Jesus gives for acts of righteousness that are done. For the Lord has prepared all of our good works in advance, and they are brought before us. I'd like to share with you just for a moment a true story. It actually took place. Here in the United States, we have a large city by the name of Phoenix, Arizona. It's probably, and I'm guessing right now, I don't know, probably right around 10 million population of the city of Phoenix. And in this big city, there was a mother there, and she had a little boy. His name was Jimmy. And Jimmy had contracted leukemia, which is cancer of the bones or the blood. I really don't know which. But once leukemia gets a hold of you, you don't have much time left. And you normally die a very painful death. And this little boy had leukemia, and he was dying. And the mother's heart was broken. And I know right now there are thousands upon thousands, maybe millions, of mothers out there who are listening to me, who are hearing me right now, and your children may be going through something just as bad. It may be for a different reason. It may be malnutrition. It may be a disease I never heard of. But I know your heart is broken, and I know how sad you are because these children are dying. There's nothing sadder than to watch a child die. So one day the mother said to the little boy, she knew he only had a short time left, and she said, Jimmy, if you would have had all the time in the world, what would you have liked to have done with your life? What would you have liked to have been? And he didn't even have to think. He didn't have to think for a second. He said, Mama, I would have loved to have been a fireman. I would have liked to have saved people from burning buildings. This is what I would have liked to have done. What a beautiful dream this little boy had. Even at 6 years old, I believe he was, he wanted to save people. He was interested in other people. And his mother called the fire department. She got a hold of the fire chief. She explained the situation to him, and she said, "And my son is dying. He's only got a few days left, and this is what he had said to me." And she said, "Would you mind? Could you come over in your chief's car and just talk to him so he could see a real fireman?" And the chief said, "Ma'am, I'll do better than that. What size is your little boy?" And that mother gave the description to the chief, how tall he was and what size clothes he wore and everything. The very next day, and this is a true story, the chief of that fire department showed up. And he had a complete uniform. He had the rubber boots that were made in Jimmy's size for the six-year-old boy. He had the rubber pants. He had the turnout jacket. He had the helmet with Jimmy's name on it. He had everything. And he presented that to Jimmy, and he told him he was now an official member of the Phoenix Fire Department. And this little boy was absolutely thrilled. I mean, he was enthralled. He didn't know what to do with himself. He was just so happy. He had this full uniform. In fact, they had an awful time getting it off of him to even go to bed. He didn't want to take the uniform off. Well, it lasted about a week or 8 or 9 days. I don't remember exactly how long. But one night, the hospital called the mother, and they said, "You'd better come down because the doctors have just examined Jimmy again, and this will probably be his last night." Well, the mother went down, and she could see from the look in his eyes that death was not that far away. And she called the fire chief again, and she thanked him for what he had done, because Jimmy was still holding on to his fire uniform. He was still holding on to his little boots and his jacket. And she said, "Do you suppose you could come and say goodbye to him?" And the fire chief said, "Ma'am, I'll do better than that. Here's what I want you to do." And the fire chief said, "I want you to take Jimmy's window. I know he's on the third floor. And I want you to open both of those windows wide open. And then I want you to get Jimmy out of bed. And I want you to bring him over by that window and have him watch." And he said, "In exactly 5 minutes, I want you to announce through the PA system to the entire hospital that this is not a fire, not a real fire. It's just a drill. But don't let that come through Jimmy's room. Just announce it to the rest of the hospital." So the mother did that. 5 minutes later, she went out to the hallway and she made the connection to the PA system. She announced to the rest of the hospital that they were not to worry. This was not a real fire. This was just a test. She went back in the room and she took Jimmy and she brought him over to the window. And all of a sudden, as Jimmy looked out that window, there came 3 ladder fire trucks, these big ladder fire trucks. And they were roaring down the street with their lights on and their sirens going. And they rolled right up in front of the hospital. And Jimmy was looking out the window and he said, "Mama, that fire must be in this hospital." And they were moving the ladders up. You know how they come up hydraulically. And they brought those ladders right up to Jimmy's window. And Jimmy could hardly believe it. His eyes got big as saucers. And all of a sudden, the firemen started to get out of their trucks, and the fire chief got out of his car, and they started to climb up that ladder. There was 26 men on duty that night. There was 26 men on duty in this particular department. And there was 26 men that climbed that ladder and climbed in to little Jimmy's room. Each one came into his room, and they picked him up, and they hugged him, and they kissed him. And the last one up that ladder was the fire chief. And when he came in, he went over to Jimmy, and he picked him up, and he hugged him, and he kissed him. And little Jimmy was crying. And Jimmy said, "Chief, does this mean I'm a real fireman now?" And the fire chief reached in his pocket, and he pulled out a badge, a shiny gold badge. And it had Jimmy's name on it. It had a number on it, and it had Jimmy's name on it. And the fire chief gave that to Jimmy, and he said, "Jimmy, you are now, and ever will be, an official member of the Phoenix Fire Department." And you know, Jimmy died later that night, but he died clenching that badge in his hand, because Jimmy knew that when he got to heaven, when he got before Jesus, he had something to show him. He had this shiny badge that he was going to show Jesus, and he was going to tell him that he was an official member of the fire department, because he had known about Jesus. His mother had taught him about Jesus. He had accepted Jesus. He was a born-again Christian. He was going to be with the Lord forever, and he knew it. And now he had his badge to bring with him. Now, a lot of you out there may not realize it, but you're in the same shape Jimmy was in. All of us are in the same shape Jimmy was in, because the Bible says all, Jimmy, everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We were born in sin from our ancestors of Adam and Eve. We were born in sin. And then we just continued to sin more and more and more. But you know, God the Father loved us so much, and he reminds me so much of this story of the fire chief, that he sent his own son, his only begotten son. He sent his own son down to earth to live the same way the rest of us did, to face every temptation that we ever faced, to go through everything we ever went through. And Jesus came to earth, and he lived the same way we lived, only in much harsher conditions in those times. And Jesus, at approximately the age of 33, approximately, was crucified on Calvary. And finally, at the end, as he hung on that cross, they had nailed him to a cross, and they put the cross in the ground. And as he hung on that cross between heaven and earth, and it's not like these movies you see, they had whipped him so bad there wasn't any skin left on his body. The Word of God says if you looked upon him, you would not have known he was a human being. You would have said to your friend that was with you, is that a human being up there, or an animal, or what? You can't really tell. Because they had whipped him so bad. They had literally tore all of the skin, all of the muscle, all of the flesh off of him. He was nothing but a bloody mess hanging on that cross. Now the Word of God says they had pulled out his hair in the clumps pulling in, pulled out his beard by the clumps, and the blood was just pouring profusely. And they had taken a crown of Judean thorns and they had shoved that into his head. They had literally buried it into his brain and into his scalp. Many, many times he should have passed out, he should have went unconscious, but the Word of God says each time the Father put his hand on him and said, no, my son, you must live, you must bear this. For he had to take all of the sickness of the world, all of the sickness that would ever be known upon this world. I don't know how it was done, nobody does, but God the Father looked around and he's seen all of the sickness that would ever be on the earth, from Adam and Eve until the last man, woman, and child who ever lived. Every toothache, every case of cancer, every case of whatever. God took all that sickness and he put it all together and he dropped it upon Jesus all at once. And he wouldn't let him pass out. Jesus had to bear it. But the last thing that Father did was something that nobody really understands, because the Word of God said sin hurts God. It actually hurts God. Now, we don't comprehend that. We don't understand it. But it does. And the Father took all the sin from the first murder to the last act of adultery. He took every sin that would ever happen upon the face of the earth. He took every time in my life when he would see me shake my fist at heaven and tell God, if you're real, I hate you. He took every act of rape and incest and divorce and adultery and drunkenness and every sin that would ever happen upon the earth. And he put them all together at once and he laid them upon Jesus. Even God the Father could no longer look upon Jesus, because the Word of God says he had become sin. He became sin. And God the Father couldn't even stand to look at him anymore, and he had to turn away. And Jesus cried out from the cross and he said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he looked down, and there was a few soldiers down there, and they were gambling over the clothes that he had had on. You know, when you see these pictures, you see him hanging there with this little diaper on. He didn't have that little diaper on. He hung naked before heaven and earth. He hung naked to make up for our sexual immorality, for our sexual perversion, for our adultery, for our sexual sins, for our shame. Jesus paid the price as he hung naked before heaven and earth. And he looked down. But not just at those soldiers who were gambling for his clothes. No. He looked thousands of years down the road. He seen the hatred one man would have for another. He seen the civil wars. He's seen people killing one another. He's seen the sins I would commit. He's seen the adultery. He's seen it all. And when he's seen all that sin and my sin and your sin, he looked up to heaven and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus today is saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. But he gave us a way out. Like little Jimmy with his badge, we have a way out. And the way out is so simple, for the Word of God says we only have literally three things to do. We've got to go to God, and we've got to say, God, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Number two, God, I can't take care of this by myself. I need a Savior. I need a Redeemer. I ask you to be my Savior. And number three, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I ask you right now, I ask that you and the Father and the Holy Spirit would come and live within me. Wash away my sins and cause me to be born again. And if you say that prayer and you say it honestly and you mean it from your heart and you cry out to God. Now some of you out there, you may be like I was 30 years ago. You may not even know if it's real. I said, if you're out there, you can do the same thing. Because you've heard about so many different gods, you can say, if you're out there, Jesus, if you're real, if you're what that man on television just said, come into my heart, forgive my sins, wash them away, cause me to be a child of God, and manifest yourself to me, Lord. Let me feel and experience and know that you're living in here, that I'm a different person. And Jesus will do that. And you, at that second, will be given a shiny new white robe that you will be dressed for the wedding feast. You will have on the right clothes for the wedding feast. And when the king, when God himself walks in and he sees you there, he will say, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And God is going to bring you in to his kingdom, into the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. Forever you will be with God. I'm asking you to try it today. What do you got to lose? You got nothing to lose, right? Try it, because he's the only God that can prove that he's real.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time to The Alarm Call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.